good to see this number out this morning. We appreciate your presence, that we've come to worship today in spirit and truth. And if you're visiting with us, we want you to know we consider you an honored guest, encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. If you find I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. If you'll show me my error, I'll make the proper correction. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that Brother Larry has suggested. And if you've not put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready, where this morning you can make the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. If you have your Bible, if you'll turn with me to the book of Isaiah and the 50th chapter, I want to read one verse to get the thought for our study. Isaiah chapter 50, and if you will, look with me at verse 9. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 9. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. In the days of the prophet Isaiah, the people of God, the people of Judea, had turned their way from God and were not living as they should. And they had started to worship idols, and they had no reverence for God, and they had no right relationship with God at that particular time. And though they were warned to repent time and time again, they continued to live in sin and ignore the warnings and would not return to God. Sometime, if you just take your Bible and look through the prophets and see how many times God had warned the people to return, it's amazing. You can just take the book of Jeremiah and notice how many times that prophet had cried out, "Return to the Lord." But here in the days of Isaiah, God is going to destroy many of the people because they continue to ignore His warnings. And He's going to allow some to be taken into captivity by nations that were their enemies. But I want you to take note in Isaiah 50 and verse 9 that some are destroyed not literally by moths, but figuratively. And I want you to understand that what Isaiah is saying is here are some people that were going to be destroyed by their own thoughts and habits. They're going to be destroyed from the inside out. Look at what he said again in verse 9. He said at the latter part of verse 9, indeed they will all grow old like a garment, and watch it, the moth will eat them up. Underscore, the moth will eat them up. I want you to understand their evil thoughts, their intention of the heart at that particular time was ill. It was against God. And because it was against God, they were being eaten from the inside out. Here they were with their evil thoughts and on their heart being on that which was evil. And here, though it was quiet and still and noiseless like a moth, that were being eaten, the fabric quietly from the inside out, so were the sins of the people, eating them from the inside out. And as a moth was eating their hearts out, they would fall to pieces like a splendid garment eaten by a moth. I remember having some suits one time, and a moth had gotten to them. And just to know what that moth could do is it ate from the inside out and tore apart the garment. And yet, notice Isaiah is saying at this particular time that there are some sins that are outward sins, yet there are some sins that start from the inside of man, from the heart of man, and destroy him from the inside out like a moth eating a garment. And what I'd like to do for just a few moments of our time is notice some people who are moth-eaten. They are eaten alive by the iniquity of their heart, that their heart is filled with sin, and because their heart is not filled with God, it is upon evil, and it is upon their intention is upon iniquity. And thus they become people who are self-consumed. The first one I'd like for us to think about are people who are consumed with bitterness and hate. That if you are an individual filled with bitterness and hate, that it's like a moth eating you from the inside out. And I'll tell you that bitterness and hate can destroy the life of an individual. There are some people who are just filled with such bitterness and hate that hatred eats at them all the time. And all they can think about is getting even or getting revenge or hoping some ill comes upon somebody else because of their hatred and their bitterness towards that individual. But if you note in your Bible, God says that that's not an attitude to have. In fact, the business, God condemns that attitude of the heart. And when one has that attitude of heart, it is like a moth eating at the heart of man and eating him from the inside out. If you take your Bible for just a moment, turn with me, if you will, to the book of Mark and the 11th chapter. And notice the attitude that one should have when they have hatred and bitterness. Notice, if you will, in the book of Mark and the 11th chapter, that Jesus says in verses 25 and 26 that you need to get that out of your heart and have a forgiving heart. He said in verse 25, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone," underscore anything and anyone, "if you have something against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." Notice that is a serious statement. That here is an individual filled with hate. He has something against a brother. He's not willing to forgive it. And notice he said, if you're not willing to forgive, God will not forgive you. Now, I want us to understand that forgiveness entails getting bitterness and hatred out of our heart. Open your Bible, if you will, to the book of Luke in the 17th chapter. And when you come to the book of Luke in the 17th chapter, notice, if you will, in verse 3. In verse 3, Jesus said, "Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him." Now notice something there, very carefully. If the brother sins, I have an obligation to go to that brother and offer a rebuke. And then notice a second part. If he repents. Underscore that. If he changes, you forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, "I repent," you shall forgive him. I want us to understand that there's no room for bitterness and hatred in our heart. We must be people who learn to forgive. That's why when Jesus told the parable in Matthew chapter 18, in verses 21 through 35, he talks about one who was forgiven much. One who's forgiven much also understands what it feels like to be forgiven. And he talks about one who would not forgive just a little. He's being moth-eaten. As the moth chews through fabric, some people are moth-eaten with hatred and bitterness and anger. Their hearts are filled with rage, and it's destroying them from the inside out. Hate does not hurt the enemy as much as it does you. And so the first thing I ask is, are you filled with such? Is there somebody that you just can't stand? Is there somebody that you just have bitterness toward? Is there hatred in your heart? I'll tell you, my friend, that is a moth eating at you. And I'll tell you what that moth will ultimately do, destroy you. But then secondly, I want you to think about something else. I'll tell you something else that will consume people like a moth is covetousness and jealousy. There are some who are so jealous of others that they are being moth-eaten from the inside out. They want something that somebody else has. They desire it so bad that it tears at them. Open your Bible, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and look at what God's attitude is towards this. I want you to understand that in both the Old and New Testament, covetousness and jealousy was condemned. But to save some time, look at what he talks about in 1 Corinthians 5 when he's talking about withdrawing from a brother. Look at what he says in verse 11. "But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother." That's somebody who's been baptized for the remission of sins. Well, what do we have to withdraw from him for? He said, "One who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard, or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person." Now, I want you to underscore the word covetous. Now, I want you to think about it. We are instructed to withdraw from a covetous person. I've never seen that done in a local church. I've never seen where that has been done, and yet it's commanded. Because covetousness will eat at a person. And that person's soul is in danger. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus warns against coveting what others have. When we covet possessions or position or property or someone's spouse or their success in life. Sometimes you look at how hard some work just to outdo someone else. I remember one place I was at one time, one fellow would build a barn and another guy would build a bigger barn. That one would buy a big screen television and then the other guy would buy a bigger screen television. And it just seemed like they tried to outdo one another all the time. And I'll tell you, my friend, if one's not careful, they can become so covetous and jealous of someone's success, their happiness, their marriage, that it eats at them. You ever thought about it was out of envy the Jewish leaders handed Jesus over to be crucified? And how many times have we been envious of someone else? Maybe their looks or their intelligence or their money. Open your Bible to the book of James in the 5th chapter. And when you come to the book of James in the 5th chapter, look at what James says in verse 2. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are what? Moth-eaten. You ever thought about the rich? Sometimes we become jealous of them. And yet how many are moth-eaten with jealousy and covetousness? But that brings up a third thought. Some people are consumed with self-pity. That's eating at their heart. They just feel sorry for themselves. In Old Testament days, you remember King Saul who was over Israel? One of his major flaws was he felt sorry for himself. In 1 Samuel 18, you remember when David had killed Goliath and they're coming back to the city of Jerusalem? And the women are singing, Saul has killed his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. That was a top 10 hit in that time. And they're singing that song, and you remember what happened with Saul? He became envious and jealous, and he started feeling sorry for himself. And that led to greater sins. I'll tell you, my friend, one thing can lead to another where one sin leads to another sin, and before long, we're being eaten alive with not just self-pity, but jealousy and covetousness and hatred and bitterness. And it all starts out with feeling sorry for ourselves. You ever thought about Elijah in 1 Kings 19? When he stood before the Lord and said, I'm the only one left. And God had to rebuke him and say, oh no, there are others who've not bowed their knee to Baal. You remember in Joshua chapter 7, when Joshua had fallen on his face after the people had been defeated at Ai, Joshua falls down. And he says to God in verse 6 and 7, O Lord, at last, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? Here he'd fallen on his face in verse 6. And he's crying out, oh God, why have you allowed this? We'd have been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. And look at what God says to him in verse 10. Get up! I love that. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned. You need to get your life right. God's response is don't feel sorry for yourself. What you need to do is make sure you're right with me. There have been many a person lose their faith due to self-pity. Thinking no one cares for them, thinking nobody loves them, and I tell you, self-pity is something that'll eat you from the inside out. In Luke 15, what about the older brother? What was his problem? Self-pity. The younger brother comes home, they kill the fatted calf, and he says, oh, Daddy, you never thought about me. You didn't even give me a goat that I could be merry with my friends. But this younger brother, this fella comes home, and you're going to kill the fatted calf? What about me? You know, there are a lot of people that just live with a perpetual feeling of self-pity. Poor old me. But I'll tell you, there's a fourth one. There's a fourth thing that can consume you like a moth, and that's worry. Open your Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 6, and you'll see three times Jesus says, do not worry. Now, Jesus warns against it. Jesus said, do not worry about what you'll wear, what you'll eat, where you'll live. Jesus said that the birds of the air have placed to rest. He said even the flowers are taken care of. God sees to that. And yet, have you ever thought that one thought of worry can lead to a miserable day? That moth starts with one thought and eats you from the inside out. You can start every morning with a worry. And before the end of the day, you'd be so tied up in knots you don't know what to do. And yet, how many times have we allowed worry to eat us alive? How many times have we been concerned to the point that we've let it go into worry? And I'll tell you, my friends, we worry about some of the silliest stuff, and I'm just as guilty as the next fellow. But I'll tell you something else. I'll tell you another thing that'll consume you like a moth is pride. It starts in the heart, and it'll eat you from the inside out. Those who act holier than thou, those who act like they can look down on somebody. I'll tell you, my beloved friend, not a one of us can look down on anybody because we're all sinners saved by the grace of God. Open your Bible to Isaiah 65. In Isaiah 65, you'll remember that in verse 5, the statement made by God, who says, keep yourself, do not come near me, for I am holier than you. These are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. God does not appreciate self-righteousness. Our righteousness is in Christ. You remember the Pharisees in Jesus' day walked about like better than everyone else, and Jesus condemned their attitude. He calls them in Matthew 23, white-walled sepulchers filled with dead men's bones. They looked good on the outside, but inside they were moth-eaten with pride. In Acts chapter 12, you remember the man who was literally eaten from the inside out by worms, Herod, which we studied on Wednesday night. And it was because of his pride when they cried out, this is a God who speaks and not a man. And he accepted that adoration and he was eaten by worms. And I'll tell you, there are many who've been eaten by the worms of pride. You ever notice, my friend, if a compliment goes to your head too much, then criticism is going to deflate you greatly. And I'll tell you, a lot of people have a lot of pride that we need to get rid of. But that brings up something else. Have you ever thought that some people are consumed with the moth of neglect? That's another heart problem. And you know I'm fearful that there are some, even at Eastside, that are slowly being moth-eaten due to their neglect. Open your Bibles to the book of Acts in the 19th chapter. And when you come to the book of Acts in the 19th chapter, look, if you will, at verse 8. In Acts 19, in verse 8. And he went into the synagogues and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But look at verse 9. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. Look at that statement. Some were hardened. That statement is made throughout the New Testament. It's made in John 12. Look in Hebrews chapter 3. In Hebrews chapter 3, the Hebrew writer brings to our mind that one can harden their heart to neglect. In Hebrews chapter 3, he says in verse 13, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sins. For we have been partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion. You know, I see people and their hearts are becoming harder. Not towards others, but towards God. That worship doesn't mean anything to them. And it's when we see you here, we're so excited to see you because we're so concerned that you've hardened your heart that it doesn't mean anything to you anymore. But look at what he says in Hebrews chapter 2. And notice, if you will, at verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard it? I tell you, you won't escape. If you neglect the salvation of God, there is no escape. So that brings up a question. All of us today can look good to one another and yet inwardly be moth-eaten. Is there something in your heart that's keeping you from being right with God? You see, unless you surrender your heart to God, your heart belongs to somebody else. And you can't serve two masters. And whatever it is, it will destroy you if you don't surrender your heart to Christ. Whatever it is that is eating at you, whatever it is that is keeping you from being what you need to be for God, whatever it is that you have allowed into your heart, I'll tell you what we need to start doing. We need to start praying about it and start doing that which would make God happy with our decisions. What is it that is eating? Wouldn't it be something if at Esau we gave up all these attitudes we talked about this morning and every one of us worked together to have the heart that is completely surrendered to God? You know what that brings? Something we're all looking for. Peace. But you're not going to find peace in all these other things. Peace comes by a surrendered heart to God. I have a question for you. Have you surrendered your heart to God? If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God, or you need to be restored, we pray that you will come this morning as together we stand and sing.